what happens? And I think that the deeper question then I think that surfaces for me is, what's our response when life isn't fair, right? What do you do when you will not get as much kisses? That's a good question, all right? And I think we all, like, we've all experienced, like, unfair in our lives, right? You've experienced it at some point. My sophomore year, I was on the JB basketball team for the Morgan County Raiders. That's right. And I spent all of my summer before my sophomore year, like, practicing. Like, I went with the team. They went to several basketball camps. I paid a lot of money to go to these camps. We spent a week at the University of Cincinnati for a basketball camp ran by Bobby Huggins. We wanted to get team shoes that were, like, way more expensive. We were poor, but I was like, no, this is important to me. I'm going to spend the money, okay? Got the shoes. I always started, like, during the summer league stuff, I was, like, a starting five guy. I was, like, usually top two or three in, like, points scored and assists and everything. And then the season started, and, like, the whole first game, I didn't get to play one single second. And I was like, this is stupid. And I was like, maybe he forgot I'm a person. He's like, yo, Jim, just to let you know, I'm ready to go in whenever you're ready. Okay. And my JV coach was kind of one of those, like, chest-thumping, like, my way or the highway kind of guy, and so he didn't respond to that super well. And he was basically like, if you don't like it, you can leave. And I was like, well, I'm not going to leave. You know, you've made a mistake. It's fine. You know, we'll just fix it next time. And the next game, I played 0 minutes. And I just was getting angrier and angrier and angrier. Finally, fourth game, we're up 20 points. He's like, all right, B-Bout, it's your time to shine. I'm like, oh, thanks, coach. Put me in when the pressure's on. But I thought that was my time. This is my time to show that I actually have what it takes. And so I was in for 5 minutes. I scored 12 points. I had, like, 5 assists. I had 3 steals. I was, like, on my game. Everybody was high-fiving me after the game. They're like, okay, you can get some play time now. Like, you've obviously shown that you can, like, cut it. Next game, 0 minutes, right? Next game, 0 minutes. I was so mad, right? It seemed, like, so unfair, and I was going through my whole 15-year-old hormones anyway, like, ah, I'm going to go listen to some Corn in my basement, you know, like. And it's just, like, that was it. I just quit. I finished the season, and I was just done with basketball, which is a shame if you've seen my jump shot. It's really right there. And I just, you know, it's fascinating because I've been thinking about this a lot and about how unfair life can sometimes be. And I still to this day think Jim Hulbert is a butthole, but that's beside the point. I think it's really interesting that when we think about fairness and how, like, life is unfair, we only compare ourselves to those who have more, right? Isn't that interesting? When we think about things that have been unfair in our life, it's always in comparison to those who have more, right? I was I found out when I got to AU that I was just naturally good at philosophy. I had a knack for it, right? And I would remember, I was that frustrating kid, right, that you might have in some of your classes. I didn't take anything seriously. I didn't study for a second. I didn't read anything. And I came in and I got really good grades. And, you know, I said, don't you hate those people? And I remember being in classes with friends who were very studious and took studying very, like, diligently and applied a lot of discipline. And, you know, they wouldn't get the same grades that I was. And my response to them wasn't, you know, you're right. I'm going to go talk to the professor and ask him to bump me down to a C. You know what? I didn't put a lot of effort in, and this person put in way more effort. It's not fair. No, what do? I go, ha, that's life. You know, and you just move on. And that's what we do, right? When you have a gift, when you have a talent, when the Lord blesses you, when you experience favor, we don't sit and go, oh, this is so unfair that I get all this stuff. We go, ha ha, fun, huh? And then we just, like, go and play with our toys, right? Like, we just enjoy it. But the moment that we don't get something we want, right? The moment somebody else is better than naturally or has more gifts, has more talents, then we're like, man, this is not fair. And I think, this is my assertion, feel free to disagree, but this is what I think. I think fairness is a culturally constructed lie that we need to be freed from. Right? It's a lie that we need to experience freedom from. And my submission to you is that Jesus actually spends a lot of time dealing with this very issue and explaining to people time and time again, quit expecting fair. God's not interested in fair. We'll get to what he's interested in. But think of these parables, right? Three parables that I'll mention and just remind us of. The first is in Matthew 20. It's the parable of the workers in the vineyard. If you have your Bible, feel free to turn to it. I don't have it on the screen behind me. But basically, in this parable, Jesus says, check it out. There is this guy. He's got a vineyard. He needs people to come and work in it. At 9 in the morning, he goes down, and he finds some guys, and he says, if you're willing to work in this vineyard, I'll pay you a denarii. And they say, that sounds like a fair wage. Perfect. They come and start getting to work. Then at noon, that same vineyard worker goes out and gets more people to come work in the vineyard. Then just an hour before quitting time, he goes and gets another group of people and come, and they work in the vineyard. At the end of the day, he pays every single person the same amount. The vineyard worker pays them all the same amount, one denarii, right? And so what do the people say who've been working there since 9 a.m.? They say what? Not fair. This isn't fair. We've been working all day. They've been working an hour. This is not fair. What are you doing? And the vineyard worker, he says something very interesting. He says, did you not get paid what I told you we're going to get paid, right? You signed up to work a day for a denarii. Or are you jealous of my generosity, right? Second parable in Matthew 25 is a parable of talents, right? And in this parable, Jesus says that there's this money lender. And he gives three different people three different sums of money. The first person he gives 10 denarii, the second person 5, and the last person he gives 1. And he says, I'm going out of town. While I'm gone, you try to use this money to grow my investments, right? And so he leaves, and when he returns, what's he find, right? The guy with 10 has doubled his money. And the moneylender says, very good, well done, my good and faithful servant. The guy who's had 5 denarii doubles his money. And the moneylender says, well done, very good, my faithful servant. But the person who only had 1 denarii said this, this isn't fair, I don't have as much as they have. So rather than risk the little that I have, I'm going to put it away, so at least I won't lose it. And when the moneylender comes back, he says, I just have the one thing that you gave me. And the moneylender is actually very harsh with this person. Person? Who? What? Right? He's harsh with this individual. And he takes the one and he gives it to the person who already had 10. And he says to the person with 1, you could have at least put it in a bank to accrue some interest, right? But you comparing yourselves to the others and what you didn't have prevented you from being faithful with the little that you did have, right? Third parable is in Luke chapter 17, and it's a parable of a master and a servant. And the parable goes like this. There's a servant. He's working out in the field all day. It's hot. The sun is beating down on him. When he comes inside, the master doesn't say to him, oh my goodness, you've had a long, hard day. Why don't you go get some rest and take a bath? No, the master expects that servant to wait on him and prepare him dinner. After that is complete, then he tells the servant he can go and take care of himself and eat. And the master's response is to the servant, what do you expect? This is your job. Are you expecting congratulations? No. What you get is that when you work your job, you're treated fairly, right? You're treated the way you ought to be. And the servant, the parable ends by saying this, we should always just consider ourselves servants, right? Unworthy servants who are simply serving and doing what we're called to. So in all three of these parables, the parable of the workers, the parable of the talents, and also the parable of the master and the servant, Jesus is saying time and time again that God actually isn't super interested in fair, right? I think what God is really interested in is, are you faithful with what you've been entrusted? That's the common theme in all three. Have you been faithful to what you've been entrusted? And this is why this is a much safer place for our hearts to live, right? Worrying about faithfulness rather than fairness. This is why. Fairness is dependent upon outside circumstances for it to be true. Faithfulness is dependent on my heart being willing to be obedient, right? Fairness on outside circumstances that we can't control. Faithfulness is dependent on something we can control, and it's our heart attitude, right? I will say this. We ought to, as a community, quit wasting our time worrying about whether something is fair. And we ought to start investing our time worrying about whether or not we are being faithful to what Christ has called us to. All of this requires us to get some perspective, right? All of this requires us to get some perspective. My wife, Leah, and I, you know, we were talking the other day and just talking about, like, how we just hit the cosmic lottery simply by being born when and where we were, right? Like, we're born into a country where we can worship Jesus freely without fear of persecution, right? We are born into a time and age where we are experiencing more equality than we've ever experienced. Now, I'll say that we still have a ways to go, right? We're not there yet. It's not like everything's peaches and sunshine. I get that. But if you look at the scope of history, this is as far as we've been, folks. Like, we still have work to do, but there's something about the world that we live in, especially for women and for other people, you know. The other thing is, we both were born into homes with Christian parents who, like, stayed married and just loved us really well, who encouraged us, who were there for us. And we were just thinking about all this stuff. Like, in the history of the world and all of the planet and all the different places we might have been born and cultures and time periods, for us to be born here and now to the parents we were is like, man, how could we be more blessed? And for me, I don't know if you feel this. For me, I think that makes me feel a weight, right? Because I know that this means I've been given much, that the Lord expects much, right? Do you feel that weight? Like, you've been given so much. What does the Lord expect from you? So we need the Lord's perspective. The interesting thing in the scriptures that we find out later is that the guy that they choose, Matthias, he wasn't the Lord's choice. Strangely enough, we hear Matthias replaces Judas, and then we never hear him mentioned again. Who is an apostle who came later who we hear a lot from? Paul. That was the Lord's choice. Leave it to Peter to be in a rush, right? To be in a rush to replace, in a rush to, like, oh, we got to find somebody to replace this. And talk about the least fair candidate in the world, right? Not Joseph, not even Matthias, these two guys who were faithful and who've been present the whole time. No, God's choice was this guy who was previously killing Christians. How is that fair? But again, that's not the right question. The question was, how has then Paul been faithful to his calling? And we can see in Scripture that he indeed was, right? He was faithful to what he was given. So tonight, I think the invitation for us is to get some perspective, to allow the Lord to remind us how incredibly blessed we've been, and for us to take a hold of the fact that the thing he puts in front of us is not comparing ourselves to others, but rather inviting ourselves to reflect on, have we been obedient to what he's put in front of us? Have we been faithful, right? So we're going to do a couple things. The first is our friend Mallory, she preached a few weeks ago, and one of the things that she said that helps protect us from entitlement are these two disciplines, the discipline of remembering and the discipline of celebrating. You remember this? And then we took these boards, remember, and so we like wrote down things we were grateful for. I just want to do that again, right? Because there's still some room on there, and we can do both at the same time, right? So we can come and we can remember where God's been at work in our community by reading some of these amazing things, and then we can celebrate by writing again what is something that God has been doing in our lives. The other thing that I want us to do in response to this truth, in response to the fact that God is indeed interested in our faithfulness and calls us to obedience, is I think it would be really cool for us together to memorize a portion of Scripture together, right? Just one passage, and it comes out of Romans 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose, right? This verse, I think we should like memorize it together, right? So we're going to do this. It's going to be really fun. Like, we're going to read this together a couple times, and then the next slide, it has some words missing. Really exciting. It's like a flashcard, but for your life, okay? And so we're going to do this together. And I just want us all to just commit this truth to our hearts and to our minds. Let's let this scripture, let this promise of God be locked away inside, right? Trusting that in all things, even when life seems unfair, even when things are incredibly difficult, in all things, God works for the good, right? That we have to take the long view. We have to trust him. We have to worry about our faithfulness and not the fairness of the world. And at the end, before you can leave, there'll be just a quiz before you can get out. And if you haven't got it memorized, you have to come back in. I'm so sorry. And if you say, hey, I'm not a good memorizer, that's not fair, welcome to the point of the sermon. Okay, good. That's not true. You can leave. Let's do this together, shall we? Let's do that like, you know, the corporate droning reading voice that you use when we all read things together. Let's do it, shall we? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. I think that's important. Let's memorize the scripture reference. Let's do that again. I'm going to start the word and. You guys do the rest. Okay, very exciting. And. It's really good. All right, let's do the next slide. Getting exciting. Let's do it. And we know. Romans 8. You guys are going to ace your final, right? This is so good. I'm glad that this is working. I've never done a flashcard in my life. This is exciting. Next. Oh my gosh. Hold on. We're going to be able to do it. And how many people are just doing the watermelon mouth when the word comes up? Get it together, Lindsay. All right, next one. Let's go. Oh. Let's do it. And what are you two doing? Super good. Let's go on the next one. All right. You can totally do this. And are you doing a Muppet voice? Is that what you're doing? Oh, it's Janice. All right, next, last one. There's just nothing. Let's do it together, shall we? And
Romans 8:28.
Yay! Oh, pray the Lord. So this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna have the band come back up. If you didn't get it, if you were just doing the watermelon mouth, I just encourage you to find that passage later and to try to commit it, you know. The scripture says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, right? That if we take the truths that God has put in his word and actually put them in our mind and begin to allow them to guide and direct our lives, we know that there's fruit and we know that there's goodness in that. So I want to encourage you in that. Also want to encourage you as we continue to worship, you know, come back up to the front, write something you're thankful for. Write down something that God has been good to you. Right, something that you're blessed by, and also maybe take some time to read what others have written before. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to transition into this time of responding to God. So, Lord, we are grateful. We're grateful people. I'm grateful that I don't have to worry about it always being fair all the time, that I don't have to be enslaved to outside circumstances, that my emotions, that my heart don't have to be caught up in things I can't control, but rather, Lord, that your promise is that we find rest, we find peace in you. And so, Jesus, may you be the keeper of our hearts. May you be the one that we depend on. May you be the one that we look to for goodness and not the world. May we remember that your invitation to us time and time again is to be faithful to what you've given us, faithful to what you've called us to, not worrying about anybody else's gifts, anybody else's talents, anybody else's wages, but rather simply grateful for an opportunity to follow you and to honor you with our lives. Our prayer, Lord, is that you would be with us in this time of remembering and celebrating, that these disciplines would ground us in the goodness of your heart, and that in our worship, your name would be lifted high. We're grateful for this community, Lord. We're grateful for the fact that you're at work in our midst. We pray all of these things in Jesus' powerful name, and God's people said,